You are listening to a podcast from becomingjewish.org. Please visit us at www.becomingjewish.org. The title of this podcast is Pharisees. The Pharisees, or Parashim, which means separated ones in Hebrew, was a movement of Jews during the time of the Second Beit HaMikdash who were in opposition to the Sadducees and Hellenists. After the destruction in 70 CE of the Second Beit HaMikdash, the Pharisees were re-established as rabbinical Judaism, which ultimately produced normative traditional Judaism and is the basis of modern-day Judaism. The first mention of the Pharisees was by the Jewish historian Josephus in his book War of the Jews, Book 2, Chapter 8. For there are three philosophical sects among the Jews, the followers of the first of which are the Pharisees, of the second the Sadducees, and the third sect, which pretends to be a severe discipline, are called the Essenes. The Pharisees are those who are esteemed most skillful in the exact explication of their laws and introduce the first sect. These ascribe all to fate or providence and to God, and yet allow that to act what is right, or the contrary, is principally in the power of men, although fate does cooperate in every action. They say that all souls are incorruptible, but that the souls of good men only are removed into other bodies, but that the souls of bad men are subject to eternal punishment. In rabbinic sources, the Pharisees are sometimes identified as the sages, an anachronism resulting from the rabbis' views of themselves as the inheritors of the Pharisaic tradition. Although the Pharisees' influence grew steadily until they eventually came to dominate the religious life of the Jewish people, scholars estimate that they numbered only 6,000 in Herodian times. In 527 BCE, King Cyrus permitted the Jews to return to Jerusalem and rebuild the Beit HaMikdash. Since King Cyrus did not permit the return of a kingship to Jerusalem, the priests took on a place as the dominant authority. The Sadducees became the lineage of the priests during the time. The Pharisees, the sages and scribes, emerged as an oppositional group of Jews to the Sadducees at this time. While the Sadducees remained in control of the Beit HaMikdash, the Pharisees monopolized the study of Torah and maintained the oral Torah. In 198 BCE, the Syrian Hellenic Seleucid Empire under Antiochus III seized control of Judea. It was during this time that the Hellenization of the Jews began in earnest. The Maccabees revolt fought against the Hellenistic Empire, and the Jewish followers ultimately retook the Beit HaMikdash and reestablished it. The Hasmonean dynasty ruled as priest-kings only to eventually become Hellenized themselves. The rift between the priests and the sages grew during the Hellenistic period. The Pharisees emerged mostly out of the groups of scribes and sages who hearkened back to Ezra and the men of the Great Assembly. One of the factors distinguishing the Pharisees from the Sadducees and other groups prior to the destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash was the belief that the purity laws had to be observed outside the Beit HaMikdash. They also believed that the continued adherence to the laws and traditions of the Jewish people had to be maintained in the face of assimilation. Josephus attested that Salome Alexandra was favorably inclined toward the Pharisees, and their political influence grew during her reign. The Pharisees' power was especially evident in the Sanhedrin. The influence of the Pharisees over the lives of the common people remained strong, and the rulings on Jewish law were deemed authoritative by many. After the Roman conquest of Israel, the Pharisees appeared before Pompey, asking him to interfere and restore the old priesthood and abolish the Hasmonean priesthood and kingship. The Pharisees regarded Pompey's defilement of the Beit HaMikdash as divine punishment of the misrule by the Sadducees. Pompey named Hyrcanus Cohen Gadol and ruler. In Rome, Herod later sought the support of Mark Antony and Octavian to secure recognition and confirmation to the termination of the Hasmonean dynasty. Upon the Roman destruction of the Second Beit HaMikdash, the Pharisees were the only group to remain with any power within the Jewish nation. After the destruction, Rome governed Judea through a procurator and a Jewish Nasi, a prince. Yochanan ben Zakkai, a leading Pharisee, was appointed the first Nasi who re-established the Sanhedrin at Yavne. According to historian Shai Cohen, by the time three generations had passed after the destruction of Second Beit HaMikdash, most Jews concluded that the Beit HaMikdash would not be rebuilt during their lives nor in the foreseeable future. Jews were now confronted with difficult and far-reaching questions. How to achieve atonement without the Beit HaMikdash? How to explain the disastrous outcome of the rebellion? How to live in this post-Beit HaMikdash Romanized world? How to connect present and past traditions? Regardless of the importance they gave to the Beit HaMikdash, despite their support for Bar Kokhba's revolt, the Pharisees' vision of Jewish law as a means by which ordinary people could engage with the sacred in their daily lives provided them with a position from which to respond to all four challenges in a way meaningful to the vast majority of Jews. The responses would constitute Rabbinic Judaism. The Rabbinic era itself is divided into two periods. The first was that of the Tanaim. They were the sages who repeated and passed down the Oral Torah. They also first canonized the Tanakh and edited together the Mishnah. The second period was that of the Amoraim, who were rabbis and their students who continued legal debates and discussion of the books of the Tanakh. Their debates and discussions reached the pinnacle and fullest expression as elaborations on the Mishnah, stories, debates, and judgments in the development of the Talmud. Rabbinic Judaism eventually emerged as normative Judaism, and in fact many today refer to Rabbinic Judaism simply as Judaism. The Mishnah, in the beginning of Avot, records the chain of tradition from Moses through the redactors of the Talmud and the last of the Amoraim. The Pharisees were also innovators and enacted specific laws as they saw necessary according to the needs of the time. These included prohibitions preventing infringements of a Torah prohibition, reading Megillah Esther on Purim, lighting the Chanukiah on Chanukah, lighting of candles to usher in Shabbat, establishing the blessing before meals, and establishing the word of the Amidah. Fundamentally, the Pharisees continued a form of Judaism that extended beyond the Beit HaMikdash, applying Jewish law to mundane activities in order to sanctify the everyday world. This was a more participatory form of Judaism in which rituals were not monopolized by an inherited priesthood, but rather could be performed by all Jews, individually or collectively. In general, the Pharisees emphasized a commitment to social justice, belief in the brotherhood of mankind, and a faith in the redemption of the Jewish nation and ultimately humanity. Moreover, they believed that these ends would be achieved through halacha. This belief entitled both a commitment to relate to Torah and to ordinary concerns in daily life, and a commitment to study and scholarly debate. The commitment to relate religion to daily life through the law has led some to infer that the Pharisees were more legalistic than other sects in the Second Beit HaMikdash era. This is not true. The Sadducees were committed to obeying the commandments of the Torah, and the Essenes governed themselves through elaborate rules and regulations. It is more accurate to say that they were legalistic in a different way. In some cases, Pharisaic values led to an extension of the law. For example, the Torah requires priests to bathe themselves before entering the Beit HaMikdash. The Pharisees washed themselves before Shabbat and festival meals, and eventually before all meals. In other cases, Pharisaic law was less strict. For example, Torah law prohibits Jews from carrying objects from a private domain to a public domain on Shabbat. The Pharisees ruled that adjacent houses connected by lintels or fences could become connected by legal procedure, creating a partnership among homeowners, thereby clarifying the status of those common areas as a private domain relative to the members of the partnership. In that manner, people could carry objects from building to building. Just as important as any particular law was the value the rabbis placed on legal study and debate. The sages of the Talmud believed that when they taught the Oral Torah to their students, They were imitating Moses, who taught the law to the children of Israel. Moreover, the rabbis believed that the heavenly court studies Torah precisely as does the earthly one, even arguing about the same questions. Thus, in debating and disagreeing over the meaning of the Torah, or how best to put it into practice, no rabbi felt that he or his opponent were in some way rejecting Hashem or threatening Judaism. On the contrary, it was precisely through such arguments that the rabbis imitated and honored Hashem. One side of the Pharisaic emphasis on debate and differences of opinion is that all the Mishnah and Talmud mark different generations of scholars in terms of different pairs of contending schools. Around the time the Romans conquered Judea, for example, the two major Pharisaic schools were those of Hillel and Shammai. Followers of these two sages dominated scholarly debate over the following decades. Pharisaic wisdom was compiled in one book of the Mishnah, Pirkei Avot. The Pharisaic attitude is perhaps best exemplified by a story about Hillel the Elder. A man once challenged the sage to explain the Torah while standing on one foot. Hillel replied, "That which is hateful to you, do not do to your friend. That is the whole Torah. The rest is the explanation. Go and study it." Thank you for listening to Pharisees. Shalom.